the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Diving stop, Seager. Toss on hop to first. In time to get seven.
Three-run homer, Robinson Cano off the lefty specialist, Fernando Abad. And the Mariners lead it 5-4.
Goodbye, baseball. Leonis Martin with a walk-off. Two-run home run.
And the king, when the Mariners needed him the most, two hits over seven scoreless innings.
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
Four in a row. Mariners win their fourth game in a row yesterday. Ichiro returns to Safeco Field, and the Mariners beat Miami. A very impressive outing for Miranda. He was outstanding. The starting pitching has been very good for the M's, and they get the win 6-1 over the Marlins as the M's crawl closer to 500, now 6-8 on the season, and 5-2 at Safeco Field now. So a nice win for the Mariners as they broke out the long ball of the highlights in just a moment. Get some reaction from after the ball game. Josh Kearns with his first feature of the season. This one on the Griffey statue, which is excellent. That comes up. Also, bullpen banter, usually on Mondays, but it was jam-packed yesterday, so pushed to today. So bullpen banter, Josh Kearns here in a moment as well. For the Mariners, game one of this three-game series against Miami, looking to keep the roll going. It's funny, Ichiro with Miami. The last time Miami was at Safeco Field, Ichiro was with the Mariners and played on the road team because of the U2 concert in 2011. Miami was the home team in that three-game series. Felix, that's how he got his career Safeco Field hit. So Ichiro back on the road, this time in a Miami uniform. Good to see Ichiro, a ceremony before the ball game commemorating his time with Seattle. Also, 3,000 hits now. He was in the starting lineup batting ninth. Got a really great ovation in his first at-bat, so that was great to see. So he was in left field for Miami, but the Mariners stealing the show, the current M's stealing the show, and really going to work in the very first inning. They put three runs on the board. Robinson Cano landing a giant blow in the first, an absolute bomb.
The 1-2 to Robbie, swinging a drive deep into the gap in right center field, going and going, goodbye baseball. Halfway up the bleachers in right center field, Robbie Cano hit a tee shot. His second home run of the season, this one off of Tom Kohler. And just like that, the Mariners have an early 2-0 lead over the Marlins.
And Nelson Cruz would come up next batter. Another big swing.
The 1-1 pitch to Nelly. Swing and a drive. Deep straightaway center field. Yelich going back. Back. Goodbye baseball. Straightaway center field. Cano and Cruz go back to back here in the bottom of the first inning. And it's 3-0 Mariners over the Marlins. Number two on the year for Nelly Cruz.
So three on the board in the first and back to work in the fourth. It was Robinson Cano again.
The pitch on the way, swinging a fly ball deep into the gap in left center field. Ichiro on the run, and this one is going to be off the wall. Dyson will score from third. Cano to second. The throw to second by Ichiro, not in time. Robbie Cano with a two-out RBI double here in the bottom of the fourth inning. And it's now the Mariners 5 and the Marlins nothing. What a night for Cano, his third run batted in.
Yeah, having a really big night. And a little bit of history as well for Robbie. It's amazing already in his career where he's at in terms of some of the career marks for doubles and extra base hits. Last night, it was double 483 in his career as he's getting closer to 500. He passed Brooks Robinson on the all-time list. The same night, the home run and double gave him 796 extra base hits. He passes Johnny Bench and Roberto Alomar on that list. So, passing Hall of Famers on his way to history. Pretty impressive stuff. So, great night for Cano. He goes 2-for-4, drives in 3, socks the home run. And the Mariners weren't done playing long ball as Motter hit a huge one. Upper deck.
There's the pitch. Swing and a drive. Deep to left field. This one ain't coming back. Goodbye, baseball. Upper deck. Taylor Motter with his third home run of the season. Last one out of here, straight away left field. Almost hit the guy with the cotton candy in the upper deck in left field. Motter with a blast, and it's now the Mariners 6 and the Marlins nothing. Holy smokes, what a shot off the bat of Taylor Motter.
He destroyed it. And it's amazing now. Mariners shortstops have hit 4 home runs this season. That's tied for the most in the big leagues with Cleveland. Francisco Lindor has 4 on his own. But Motter, it's not a surprise, I guess, if you would have come into the season saying the Mariners at this point have 4 home runs from their shortstop, and you would assume Segura is off to a great start. What's remarkable is he's been on the disabled list, and yet here they are with 4 home runs from the position, and Motter has 3 of them. He's tied for 2nd in the big leagues with all shortstops and home runs. There are 7 teams in the majors right now that have 0 homers from their shortstops. And here's Motter just hitting lasers all over the yard, just crushing the baseball. He has been remarkable. So the offense playing long ball, but the story again, starting pitching, Miranda was outstanding.
Here's the pitch. Swing and a foul tip into the glove of Mike Zunino for strike 3. Realmuto goes down swinging. Back-to-back strikeouts for Ariel Miranda here in the top of the 5th. He now has 4 strikeouts tonight. And now Miranda has retired 14 of the 15 batters he's faced.
The 1-0. Swing and a sharp ground ball. It's gobbled up by Motter on the first base side of 2nd. Over the shift, up from his knees, he throws down to first base. And Justin Bour is eaten up alive by the Mariners' shift for out number 3. 7 nearly flawless innings here tonight from Ariel Miranda. No runs on only 4 hits.
He was outstanding. 7 innings, his final line. 4 hits, no runs, no walks, and 5 strikeouts for Miranda. 97 pitches as he takes the win home. Mariners rotation continues to be impressive. The M's rotation, a 3.07 ERA as a group. That is behind the Royals, who have the best rotation in Major League Baseball at 2.31, the Cubs at 2.83, the Twins at 2.84, and then the Mariners, the 4th best, the Astros right behind at 3.25. So 14 games in, a 3.07 ERA as a group, 63 strikeouts and 82 innings pitched, opponents batting just .239, and it's a 1.15 whip so far for the rotation. And really, other than the last start for Iwakuma, outside of that, the rotation has been brilliant. I mean, they're getting good, consistent, quality starts. And again, with missing Smiley out until about June, but Miranda has really picked up slack and pitched really, really well. So the Mariners take game 1 of the series 6-1. Here's the thoughts from the skipper after the ball game, Scott Servais.
Great outing by Ariel tonight. Really, pitched much different tonight than last time out. I think last time out he threw a lot of off-speed pitches. Tonight was very aggressive with his fastball, and it's great to see really in control of the game. The whole night he had a little hiccup in there in the 6th, kind of like his last outing in the 6th, and he got through it, and happy for him. He's throwing the ball really well against a team that's really, the middle of their lineup is tough. They can really swing the bat, so we needed it tonight to go as deep as he did. We used a ton of bullpen guys yesterday, so it's nice to not have to go so deep in our bullpen tonight.
Getting deeper for him seems to be a big step, right?
It is. I think, keeping the pitch count in check is important. I think, guys third time around, when they kind of see what his repertoire is, they seem to make adjustments because he can kind of get on you. His delivery and the ball kind of jumps on you pretty good. So, but he's learning. He's maturing. I thought Zunino did a really nice job behind the plate tonight with him, mixing his stuff and going to the off-speed when he needed to.
Scott, how important is it establishing the fastball for him?
Oh, it's huge, yeah. And that's what he lives off of, and he should. He's got nice ride up in the zone. But his secondary pitches, the split change he throws has really come along. He threw some pretty good sliders tonight to some decent left-handed hitters. So, again, his confidence is growing. You know, not making our team originally out of camp, and then with the Smiley injury and stepping up like he has. I mean, that's why we had the depth. And when Jerry put the club together, you know you're going to need 6, 7, 8 starters sometimes. So it's nice for him to step in and then, just pick up like he left off last year.
Hey, the back-to-back from your two big guys in the first inning had to be really nice to see, to get both of them going.
Yeah, Robbie absolutely crushed the ball, and Cruz, he said he didn't get it all, but that's Nelson Cruz. I think Taylor Motter got all the one that he hit. So, obviously, coming out, it's great to see those guys kind of pick it up and get it going. That's what drives the train is the middle of our lineup. And, just hopefully get them in a nice, consistent rhythm. That would be great here. Hopefully win this series.
Robbie's had a few ugly at-bats here and there, too. What have you seen from him coming in?
He hasn't, of all the guys, he probably gets a little anxious at times. He wants to do it sometimes too bad instead of letting the pitcher come to him and getting his pitch to hit. And I think, the first at-bat tonight was great, deeper in the count. He got a changeup or something up in the zone and put a great swing on it. So sometimes a little bit too anxious instead of letting the game come to him.
Motter's not a real big guy, but he seems to have some bat speed.
Seems to. Yes, the ball jumps off his bat very good. And, he's a good fastball hitter. Looking for his pitch. He's getting it. He ain't missing it. Really, he's brought a very nice spark to our team. I know it's the character and it's the hair and all the other stuff, but, you can do all those things, but you still got to be a good player. Otherwise, it doesn't do anything. And he's played great. Really stepped up when we needed him with Segura being down.
Hey, when Segura comes back, do you need to find a spot for him if he keeps swinging like this?
I think it kind of fits into our original plan. He's so versatile.
He is versatile. He can play anywhere and... Boy, what a nice weapon to have. And Motter's just playing so well right now. Segura's getting healthy, and he'll be back in just a couple of days as well. So makes the Mariners that much deeper, and a guy that can play anywhere on the field, which is a good, good thing. Speaking of Motter, here he is after the ball game.
Ball's not supposed to carry this time of year. You get that one on the upper deck.
Hit a ball in a barrel and watch it go, I guess. We've been hitting the ball well lately. We've been pitching really good lately, too. So it's all finally coming together.
How about them when the middle of that lineup starts popping them out like they did in the first inning? Then it makes everything flow.
Yeah, everything's good. We see those big guys start hitting. It makes everything easier on us. We know they're getting into a groove. Our pitching's getting into a groove. Us younger guys are getting into a groove. Everything's starting to come together.
How good was Miranda playing behind him?
Oh, he was unbelievable tonight. It was the best I've ever seen him pitch, and I hope he does that the rest of the year.
Scott said you're finding your pitch and you're not missing it. Is that what it feels like right now, that you're working yourself to find the pitches you want to hit?
Yeah, I think it's helping that I'm getting my fastballs, and I had a slider out the other night, but I'm getting pitches up in the zone or pitches that I can handle, and like you said, I'm not missing them.
Have you had a stretch like this where you felt kind of this locked in, though, where it just feels like everything's kind of going right?
2015, I played pretty well in Durham, but not on this scale, not on this level.
How close did you think you were to getting another home run?
I knew I barreled it. I didn't know how far I got it, but 331 out there is pretty big, so Ichiro made a good catch. And just hoping it went out, but it didn't.
You guys have rattled off 4 straight now. What have you guys kind of found since that off day to kind of get locked in and put this run together?
We got that off day. We regrouped, showed up back to the field, and we've had great pitching performances every night, and the hitters come together as well. I mean, pitchers give up 1 run, no runs every game. We're going to win a lot of ball games.
So there it is, Taylor Motter after another impressive ball game. Mariners get the win. They take game one of the series. And now they're looking for a series win, trying to get back-to-back series wins after sweeping aside the Rangers. And they'll face a familiar face, former Baltimore pitcher Wei-In Chen. The lefty will take the ball for the Marlins. He has scuffled to start 1-0 with a 7.00 ERA. His first start of the season went very well. In New York against the Mets, went 6, gave up 7 hits, 1 run, a walk, and 5 strikeouts. His next start, also against the Mets, didn't go so well. 3 innings, 7 hits, 6 runs, including a couple of home runs, no walks, and 3 punchouts. He is obviously very familiar with Safeco Field pitching for Baltimore, as he'll take the ball for the Marlins in Game 1 of the series. Gallardo will go for the Mariners. 0-1 with a 6.30 ERA so far in 2 starts. Mariners have lost both his starts so far. His first one against the Angels went 5 innings, gave up 3. His second start against the Astros went 5 and gave up 4 earned. and walked four and fanned two. So Chen against Gallardo. And then game three of the series, day baseball from Safeco Field. We will be podcastless. Day baseball from Safeco Field. 12:40 first pitch on Wednesday. Is that a word? I may have made that up. Felix Hernandez, the king, will go on Wednesday against the Marlins, 12:40. That should be a beauty of a matchup, especially with Felix Hernandez has been going so far. And we'll see. Mariners will either be going for a series win, or perhaps they will be going for a sweep coming up on Wednesday. Also, Ichiro dual bobblehead giveaway as well. Cool-looking bobbleheads. We were in Cincinnati last year for Ken Griffey Jr. Day in Cincinnati, and they gave away a cool bobblehead, a dual one, where he was wearing a Mariners uniform on one side of it and a Reds uniform on the other. Mariners giving away an Ichiro bobblehead with Ichiro in a Marlins uniform, 3,000 hits, and, of course, the vast majority of those in a Mariners uniform. So Volquez against Hernandez on Wednesday. Looking forward to tomorrow. 7:10, first pitch from Safeco Field. Hopefully see you out there as the Mariners go for a series win. All right, bullpen banter time. Let's hand it over to Dan Altavilla.
Joining us today is reliever Tony Zick. Tony, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where'd you grow up, and what are some things you had to do to get here?
I grew up in Illinois, about an hour south of Chicago. Went to college at Louisville. Got drafted out of Louisville to the Cubs in the fourth round. Spent a few years there. Got traded over here in 2015 and then made it up.
From what I know, you were a two-way guy at Louisville. What position did you play?
Second. Yeah, I went there as a second baseman and then essentially closer, and they took the ball away from me, or they took the bat away from me after I started throwing a little harder. So sophomore year was pretty much just pitching.
So if we make it in the extra innings, you're the guy to go to as an extra player?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'll get a bunt down, you know, whatever you need.
Who were some of your favorite players as a kid, and why?
I think Derek Jeter was my favorite growing up. You know, being a two-way guy, like you said, I really liked the way he played the infield. And once I kind of converted to pitching, I loved watching Kimbrel. Mariano Rivera, obviously closers that were unbelievable. So, yeah.
Right, I can see that. So what person had the biggest impact on you as far as you becoming a major league player?
I'm going to say my dad. You know, just pushed me hard young to work hard and you know, taught me the game when I was young. And he was just always riding me to give my best, and thankfully it worked out.
I can agree that all parents are there for us all the time. So did you always play baseball, or did you play any other sports growing up?
I played football until high school. Played on the golf team a little bit in high school. That was about it. Just did a lot of hunting.
What's your handicap?
Well, when I was real good, I could shoot in the 70s, but I haven't played that much, and I don't know right now.
Oh, okay. That's pretty good. What has been your best moment so far in your career?
I think making my debut. Obviously, that's an unbelievable moment. And then right now, being able to make it back from an injury and be a part of the team.
That's awesome. We're glad to have you back. Besides me, who has the best smile on the team?
I mean, yours is second to none, brother. So I got to go with you.
Oh, man. Nice guy here. So who's the best dresser on the team?
Ooh, that's a tough one. A lot of different styles. I think I hold down the redneck dressing. Valencia had a pretty good outfit on yesterday. I don't know what that was, but it was outstanding. So we're going to go with Valencia.
All right, we got a lot of interesting dressers. What about Chooch? He always shows up.
Oh, yeah, Chooch is always dressed real nice. He's also got a good little cowboy dress attire, so that's good. But, you know, a guy as professional as him always looks good.
So if you weren't playing Major League Baseball, what would you be doing?
Hunting, hands down. I'd be hunting. I'd be in the woods every day.
Did you have a regular job before baseball, or was it always just baseball?
I did a little odds and ends growing up. I helped my dad. He was an electrician. Worked with him a little bit. My aunt and uncle owned a pizza place. I delivered a few times for them. That was interesting. Just a little odds and ends. Nothing locked in.
Okay, so you're a pretty handy guy?
Yeah, so I can get stuff done. We work a lot in the off season. You know, at my place, we've built a few barns and sheds and fixed up houses and stuff, so I could do a little bit of stuff.
There you go. That's awesome. So what has been your funniest moment on the baseball field?
Oh, funniest. That's a tough one. I don't even know. I don't know if I got one.
I would have to think about that one.
All right. That's
okay. I don't smile like you do as much.
So, okay. So what's your favorite type of food and your favorite meal?
I think steak dinner. I love steak dinner. So try to go to a steakhouse at least once a week. And then when I'm back home, obviously I eat a lot of deer. Like I said, I hunt a lot. So backstraps is the best.
Thank you, Tony Zick, very much.
Now it's time for Josh Kearns, our first of what I hope is many Josh Kearns features this year.
You could feel the anticipation as Mariners greats like Edgar Martinez, Jay Buhner, and Dan Wilson, along with family, friends, dignitaries, and executives past and present, eagerly awaited the unveiling.
Today, Ken's legacy will live forever at the front door of this fabulous ballpark.
A fabulous ballpark, many would say, should be called the house that Junior built. And he was clearly moved about the whole thing when we chatted afterwards.
You're going to be out there always.
Yeah. A little frightening. I may get used to it, but when he told me it was, I took a step back, like, huh? Because he said, I'd like to talk to you about something, and I thought he was just going to talk about baseball stuff, and he was like, no, what do you think about a statue? And I was like, what? And he was like, what do you think about a statue of? And you want to say of who? And then he looked at me like, you dummy.
Not he. He's referring to his Mariners president, Kevin Mather. Now, the statue itself is just glorious. 7 feet of gleaming bronze. It depicts Junior in his famous home run finish, standing atop a polished 4-foot-tall granite base. The detail is just amazingly meticulous, all the way down to his signature shoes, even his Jackie Robinson patch. And his achievements are etched in the sides. It was created by sculptor Lou Sella, who also crafted the Dave Niehaus statue above center field on the main concourse.
It was really special to me. The name really means something to the sport. And my two passions in life are sculpting and baseball. So when I have the opportunity to combine those elements, it's really means a lot to me.
Sella worked with the Mariners to come up with the idea, and then he pored over pictures. But he didn't have to go far. He told me that he found a Sports Illustrated with Junior on the cover that he had saved from when he was a young man following Griffey. And he said that it was that grace, that beauty of Junior's swing on the cover of Sports Illustrated was what he wanted to capture in the sculpture. And for a guy who has created sculptures of many of baseball's legends, including Ty Cobb, Babe Ruth, players like that, this was one of the first players he actually watched play throughout his career.
I'm looking at personality. I'm looking at the focus of what's coming through him, through his eyes. You're playing a game of shadows in the artwork. So we want to not just have this look like Ken Griffey, we want this to feel like Ken Griffey. And in getting that, you get the feeling of life in the piece.
And after taking a close look, Junior says the artist nailed it.
It's nice. Looked like me. Good extension. Eyesight was in the right spot. Looking up. Not high, but, you know. I'm looking at that's probably 450-ish.
That's it. Just 450?
You don't want to go any further than that. Go any further than that, they expect it. 450 is right there at the threshold.
A little late not to be setting expectations high. One of the cool things about the Junior statue is that it's outside Safeco Field rather than inside the ballpark. And Mariners spokesperson Rebecca Hale says that was a critical part of the planning.
Folks are going to be able to see it, to touch it, to have their photo taken in front of it. Every day of the year, you don't have to have a ticket to the ball game. If you're here in January, you can still go out there and see it and experience it. And that's what it really is all about. That was one of the things that we thought was most important, was to make sure that it was something that all fans were going to be able to share and enjoy.
And what a year it's been for Junior. Hall of Fame induction, his number retired in Seattle, and now the statue. And he remains humble and grateful.
It's been a whirlwind for, you know, 18 months, January of last year to even now. It's hard to describe. You know, I just try to just sit back and try not to do anything because I don't want to mess it up. But, as I was told at the Hall of Fame that the party that the Mariners threw was the best party that any organization has ever thrown.
But he's hopeful there'll be another party in the not-too-distant future when his teammate and good friend Edgar gets inducted into the Hall as well. For the Mariners Sunday Magazine, I'm Josh Kearns reporting.
And finally, the man they call Scrabble.
Anytime you can get a win with a pen cover and six innings, it motivates you the next day. Because the starter's going to have those days where, you know, sometimes we have to pick up those innings. So anytime we get a win like that, it's huge. For the most part, we held them down. Had some scary, lucky moments. Talking about myself and obviously Mitch robbing that homer. But, you know, I was able to just get able to pull through and obviously the offense came back and we were able to win.
You went a little above and beyond. I mean, not only lefties and righties, which you'll do from time to time, but an up and down as well. It's all hands on deck at that point, and wanted you to have the ball.
Yeah, without doubt. Last year I went 2 1/3 after being in Washington for a week. So, I mean, I've done it in my career. I know there's probably more times than not that I haven't, but I always look at that left-right-left situation or the lefty sandwich together with a righty in there. I always look at there, let me go out there and face them. You know, I was able to get Lucroy out yesterday and force him to walk two, but then got the next guy. So it's one of those, anytime those lineups happen, I like being out there and not having to burn too many guys.
You mentioned the catch that Haniger made. He actually made one the inning before that you acknowledge. It was kind of it's fun to see. We don't know that about you, but you're a little emotional out there, and you cheer them on too.
Without doubt, I don't try to be too emotional with key situations like that. You know, I mean, I thought I gave up actually two homers yesterday, and Odor hit it right to the track, and luckily got under it, and luckily here the ball wasn't carrying yesterday, so Mitch was able to get that one, and obviously the one off Gallo. That's probably the best catch I've seen. Probably the first homer I've been out there and then somebody's robbed from me, so I appreciate it for Mitch.
Well, that's saying something. You've been around for a little
while. Yeah, I mean, and luckily I usually try to keep the ball in the ballpark, and yesterday I thought I gave up two, but Mitch was able to bring one back and it was huge for me. You could tell the momentum in the game was swinging.
Haniger's not a guy who's going to talk about himself very much, so you probably noticed that, so we've got to go to others for that. What have you noticed in him in this short time you've been with him?
He's a gamer. I mean, he's ready to play every day. He's got a great approach when he goes hits, and obviously he's playing a great right field, too. So just for being a young kid, he's well put together, but you never know just by talking to him that he is young.
Skipper had some really interesting comments in his post-game press conference last night. He mentioned that he asked for more intensity from everybody, from his coaches, from himself, and from the players. And it really seems like that off day and perhaps even a little bit of extra focus, prompted by the skipper helped.
Yeah, definitely. First, having an off day after struggling, you kind of reset. And we know we have a better team than what we were playing the first 10 games. So we just had to get on a roll. And obviously sweeping a good team like Texas definitely helps us. Obviously we have to keep it going. But, anytime the skipper goes out there and goes to bat for any of the players, whether or not it's the umpire's right or wrong, anytime it motivates us to play and get a win for him.
Down in that bullpen, you're kind of the veteran. There are a lot of young guys down there.
Yeah, it's weird. This is the first team where I've kind of had to switch to the older guy. I've always been on veteran teams. Like last year, I had John Axford, Ryan Madsen, Sean Doolittle. Guys have been around. This is a younger pen, but we're really talented. I mean, look at the guys that could come in and throw hard. And we're only going to get better once we get Shishak back. So it's just one of those, we try to build off each other, but at the same time, I'm transitioning myself and trying to be that older guy and trying to pass some of my experience on to the younger guys.
I think probably the biggest thing, they all have their pitches, but getting ready, staying in games, knowing situations, things like that.
Yeah, definitely. For me, being left-handed, I kind of know when I'm going to have to turn it on and have to get loose and stuff like that. But, for righties, once that phone starts ringing, I think everybody's ready down there. So, once we feel like we get comfortable down there and, we had a good two games, starters were going really well, and then obviously Kuma didn't pitch the way he wanted to yesterday, but we were ready to pitch, and obviously we were able to come out with a win.
Lastly, interleague play. You don't see the Marlins very often, but you do, and this is where your experience helps, I think, greatly for guys. Just tell us a little bit about Ichiro facing him.
Tough. I faced him on the way back to 2009, back when he was even younger and faster than what he is now. I remember my first time facing him, he hit a ground ball short, and he beat it out. And he ended up scoring because I balked him, and he had two ground outs. He ended up scoring. I didn't get a ball to the infield, and it's 1-0. But he's just an overall good player. I mean, obviously, we've seen what he's done for the years, being in the outfield, now being a bench guy. But he's tough out. I mean, you throw pitches in the dirt, he somehow can still hit them. So it's one of those, kind of have to make your pitches, and hopefully hits it on the ground, hits it hard enough, because he's still fast, being, I think he's, 43 now or something like that. But, you know, he's a tough out, and playing these guys, this is a good good group of guys. I've always seemed to be playing against them interleague and playing in National League. You know, they got a young lineup, but they got a good team over there, so we'll have to be on our toes, ready to play, and you know, we'll see how it goes, but I like our team and I like our chances.
See you later!